That something's wrong with you, right? That's wonderful. This morning, if you would be finding the text, Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, page 1350 in your Pew Bible. If you need to use that Pew Bible and you don't have one, Pastor Matt is fond of saying, take it home with you. I agree. We can get another one. We'd love for you to have that. If you don't have a copy of God's Word for yourself, take that with you. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. And actually, I'm going to back up a little bit into verse 8, but you won't hold that against me, I hope. Let's stand for the reading of the words of our Lord this morning. The Word of God says this, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Let's pray together. Father, I pray today that You would deepen that understanding in some of us, open our eyes for others to the truth that the righteousness that we need that makes us right with God does not come from us, but from faith in Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I'm convinced, excuse me, Clark. Little inside joke there. I'm convinced that one of the biggest problems facing our country, our church, the world today is a lack of alien righteousness. You see, we have far too much terrestrial righteousness. That is, earthly righteousness. We've come to depend on it. Now, when you hear the word alien, maybe you think of all sorts of images, space aliens, those guys with the big gray heads, or maybe a blockbuster movie. For some of you, maybe you picture Alf. I don't know, is that too far back? How about Mork from Mork? Or if you're really going way back, Uncle Martin? Anybody? A few people. Maybe illegal aliens is what you picture when you hear the word alien. Well, I can promise you something. Today, I will not be preaching on either science fiction or politics. We will be looking at the text you just saw here today. We will be talking about an invasion. It is an invasion of the human heart by something from without, something foreign, something alien to us, something even extraterrestrial. The old theologians had a word for describing this act or this moment, this substitution for our filthy rags of righteousness with the surpassing greatness and glory of Christ's righteousness. And they called this alien righteousness because it comes from without. This alien righteousness is a foundational truth to the gospel. It's foundational, and it's here what Paul is talking about in verse 9. But I do want to give us a little context for our verse. So I will back up into verse 8 here and read the entirety of that. I'm tempted, you know, to get going on all of it, but indeed, he says, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For this sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Now this in itself is an amazing verse, and it's one of the reasons why I went back and read it. It's just hard not to read Philippians 3:8 when you're right at 3:9, but we had to do that. But even so, it gives us a proper context. Paul is explaining what he's saying to us in verse 9. He's given us some background. And that is, the whole of chapter 3 really is his kind of diatribe against legalism, specifically the legalism of the Judaizers who are trying to impose some Jewish traditions and culture, even laws such as circumcision upon this fledgling Christian church. And Paul is basically telling them, if you want to stack up and count all of the traditions of the law, you're not going to find anybody better than me. I mean, I am a Hebrew of Hebrews. I am the Not bragging, but the smartest scholar you know. You know, I've been there. I've done that. I know all there is to know. I've kept all the laws. And yet, all of that stuff to me at this point is rubbish. If you know Greek, you would be blushing. This word in Greek is pretty pungent. I won't say it in English. It's a powerful word for refuse. Paul is saying, it is trash to me. All of those good deeds, all of that righteousness that I thought I had, the religion, the good works, and knowledge, and my pedigree. So here we are in verse 9, looking at this alien righteousness that Paul is explaining to us, he's proclaiming to us. And I want to share with you 4 points this morning. First, the goal of alien righteousness. That is, what is the purpose of this exchange? Secondly, the insufficiency of my righteousness. That is, the total lack of righteousness on my own. Third, the instrument of righteousness. Well, if it doesn't come through the law and obedience, then how does it get to me? And fourthly, the source. Where does it come from? And you'll see there's quite a bit of overlap between 3 and 4 there. But diving right in, first, the goal of alien righteousness, backing up into chapter 3, verse 8 a little bit, Paul says, that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him. First of all, clearly, that I may gain Christ is at the central of practically everything that Paul teaches, right? If you have read any of Paul's writings, you know that that is what he's all about. But let me just jump into this second part of it, which is maybe a little bit more less well-known or less obvious, that I may be found in Him. What does it mean to be found? To me, being found implies either that I'm lost, which is the case, and also, or that somebody is searching. Someone is searching. It turns out someone is searching. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, the Word of God says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless towards Him." He's looking. He's always searching. He's looking across the whole earth for those who are righteous. And in Jeremiah 17:10, He says, "I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind," now catch this, "to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds." He is searching the whole earth, and when he finds someone, he searches their heart, and his goal is to give you what you deserve, to give you justice. Now, if you're a self-righteous kind of person, maybe you're saying, well, it's about time. And if you're honest with yourself, you're terrified at that thought. When the eyes of the Lord move across creation, the Apostle Paul does not want to be found in his religion and his law-keeping and in his pedigree. He wants to be found in Christ. He knows that the prophet Isaiah has spoken and said that, Paul, your righteousness is a bunch of filthy rags. And guess what? So is yours, so is mine. I want you to think about that question even as we go through the rest of the sermon. Where do you want to be found? Not what location do you want to be found in. What position do you want to be found in? Do you want to be found in your own righteousness or in Him, as Paul says, in Christ? Secondly, there's the insufficiency of my righteousness. Looking back at verse 9, kind of right there in the middle, it says, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law. Righteousness is defined as the quality of character that both describes the condition of the heart and also determines the actions of one's hands. We'll come back to that definition a little later on, but the quality of character, that is who you are at your core and what you do, is righteousness. In its purest sense, righteousness simply means rightness. The quality of being right. State of being. In regards to morality, right. In regards of your actions, right. In regards to what you think, right. To what you believe, right. And in your relationship with God, right. No stumbling blocks. Nothing between you, right. In Scripture, the idea of righteousness is so closely related to holiness. In my opinion, I believe that righteousness is nothing more than holiness on display. If you could take my holiness, or the holiness of God, and put it into action, it becomes righteousness. There are two things about that little phrase there I want you to note, and it's real simple. He says, first, it's not of my own, and secondly, it's not derived from the law. Paul says he does not have a righteousness of his own. That's not a new teaching for Paul. In Romans 3, he's quoting the psalmist when he says, as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. So clearly, what Paul is not saying here is, you know, my righteousness was pretty good, but not quite enough. He wasn't saying, you know, my righteousness was just a little bit off here, or if I had just a little bit more. What Paul is saying is, I do not have a single solitary scrap of righteousness worth anything. Secondly, it's not derived from the law. You know, the assumption of, obviously, throughout Scripture is that the law brings righteousness, right? If I can just obey the law, then it makes me righteous. Paul is turning that on its head. Well, Jesus really turned it on its head before Paul. If you remember the Sermon on the Mount, that was kind of the whole point of the Sermon on the Mount, wasn't it? Jesus kept saying to them, he would quote the law and say, "You have heard it said." And then he would quote the law. And then he would say something very striking and very controversial. "You have heard it said, but I say to you." In other words, he's telling them, now, what you have heard isn't the whole story. Now, he wasn't saying the law was bad or broken or wrong. Later on in the Sermon on the Mount, he would even come out and say, you know, "I have fulfilled the law. And not a jot or tittle of it will pass away." A jot or tittle is like dotting the I's and crossing the T's. Nothing is going to disappear from the law. It's good, but you are not keeping the law. You think because the law says don't murder, you're innocent just because you haven't cut someone's throat? That's wrong. Your hatred betrays your murderous heart. He demonstrated no one was keeping the law. No one is capable of keeping the law. And since you and I cannot do that, we can derive no righteousness from the law. In fact, Paul goes on in Galatians and he says, even if you could, if the law was capable, it can't. He said it cannot deliver righteousness. In Galatians 3, he says, now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. He quotes Habakkuk here and he says, the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. It doesn't get any more clearer when he says, no one is justified by the law. The law, rule keeping, does not make anyone righteous. I'm going to tell you something kind of crazy right here. It didn't make Jesus righteous. It doesn't make you righteous. It's because of righteousness that you keep the law. You see, it's kind of, you know, people might think it's chicken or the egg. It is not. Clearly, righteousness comes first. Righteousness, the law, is not an earning system towards becoming righteous. You don't become better and right with God by keeping rules. You start out with a rightness of heart, and then you keep the rules. Your obedience to Christ is a measuring stick for your righteousness, for how mature in the faith you are, for how much like Christ you are becoming, for how closely you're walking with Christ in the faith, for how well you are applying the words of God, for how much trust you have in Jesus. Do not think for a minute that you can earn anything by your good works. So essentially, Paul is stepping back and he's saying, you know, I am bringing nothing to the table. Nothing good anyway. I couldn't even if I tried. So naturally, the question follows then where does the righteousness come from? If it does not come from the law, if I'm not producing it on my own by good works and giving of alms and reading the scriptures, and if I'm not producing it, then where does it come from? So thirdly, we see that the instrument of our righteousness is but that which comes through faith in Christ. This alien righteousness frees you to obey the law of God from a pure heart and pure motives. But it also gives you a right standing before God. This is what Paul calls justification. That moment, that state of being of rightness before God. When you stand before God, having committed the crimes, but yet being justified through faith. Standing clothed in the righteousness of God. This is what Paul calls justification. And this is what the eye of the Lord sees when he lands upon one of his children. Remember, he's searching the earth. He's looking and he's testing hearts. And when he finds the heart of one of his children, he doesn't see their sins and their past failures. He looks and instead, he sees the righteousness of his own Son, the very Son of God. But that doesn't just happen automatically. It is through faith in Christ that we gain that righteousness. It is delivered to you by way of your faith in Jesus through no other means. We are made right in Christ. Listen to me. Not through another religion, even if it's a good religion. Even if it's a religion of, quote, peace or a religion of morality, but through faith in Christ. Not through your parents' faithfulness. I don't care if both of them were Sunday school teachers their whole lives. It's through your faith in Christ. This rightness does not come through church membership. Through faith in Christ, not even through baptism. As important as it is, baptism is a symbol of what has happened with your faith in Christ. Not through doing your best. I don't care how sincere you are, it's not through being sincere. It is through your faith in Christ. I want to ask you today, who are here, you who are watching, what is the instrument of your righteousness? That is, what are you depending on to be right with God? If it's something that you have done, something that you have acquired, something of this earth, you will fall short. What is it that you're depending upon to convey your righteousness or to convey righteousness to the holy judge of all creation? People in churches all across this country today are depending on their merit. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you're one of those who, one day I walked the aisle and I shook the preacher's hand and I repeated a few words. I got dunked. And yet I am walking around depending on how good I am to be right with God. I'm not living in faith. You cannot earn your way into God's favor. There's only one effective instrument, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. Faith to believe that He is the Son of God who died to pay your sin debt, and that He rose again on the third day to guarantee you eternal life. But there's a fourth and final point, and that is the initiator, or the source of my righteousness. And Paul says, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. So where does it come from? We've kind of already given away the answer there, but You know, for those of you who were sleeping up until now, I'll go ahead and we'll kind of go over it again. This is an alien righteousness which comes from the divine Son of God himself. He is the source of that righteousness. It is truly an extraterrestrial righteousness. It is not of this earth. It is otherworldly. I want you to think about that. Just think about that. When we think about being right before God, I think many of us think what's happening is God is just wiping the slate clean and we're starting over fresh. And we'd be satisfied with that. A lot of us would. But that is not what the Scriptures teach us. The Scriptures instead teach us that when God comes to you through your faith in Jesus Christ, He doesn't just wipe the slate clean. He takes the slate and He throws it away. And instead, He, the Bible uses the word imputes, He puts into your account the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Not just a clean slate. Not just neutrality, not just I'm no longer a sinner, but He replaces your sinfulness and your attempts at righteousness with that of the Son of God. I want you to think about that. When God looks at you, when He comes to judge you, when He's searching over the earth and He lands upon you, He's overjoyed. He looks and He says, "Wow, look at that. Look at the righteousness on this one. It's outshining the sun." And let me tell you, that has nothing to do with the fact that you gave a little check to First Baptist Church. Or that you read your Bible. Or even that you are obeying as well as you can. Those are wonderful things. But those are the results of righteousness acting in your life. They do not earn you righteousness. We have it all in Christ. We're incapable of producing our own. Remember, Paul was quoting from the Psalms in Romans 3. Let's look at that psalm. I'll read it for you. Psalm 14. He says, "The Lord has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They've all turned aside. Together they've become corrupt. There's no one who does good, not even one." There's only one source of righteousness on the earth. You know, Billy Graham was once asked, you know, "Do you believe in life on other planets? Do you believe in aliens?" You know what his response was? "I don't know, but if there are out there, they need Jesus." He's right. If there are aliens on other planets, they need Jesus. There's only one source of righteousness in the cosmos, in the creation. What we need today, what I need, what you need, is a lot more alien righteousness and a lot less earthly righteousness. Those of you who have been saved for a long time, this isn't just an act of salvation. This is a way of living. Stop clinging to those good works. Now, I'm not saying stop doing them. Stop trusting them. Stop clinging to them. Where do you want to be found today? I want to be found in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. I want to be found in the Son of God. I want to be found counted with Him, as the song says, to be a joint heir with Him. I don't want to be found on my own. I don't want to be found in my righteousness and what I can do. I don't want to be found in my good deeds and my religion. And friend, let me tell you, neither do you. What's amazing about all of this is this whole fact betrays a truth about Christianity that is unique, as far as I know, in all of the world's religions. And that is, what our God demands of us, He also supplies. You can go the world over, and practically every other faith, everyone that I know of, you are expected to produce something to be right with that God or with that system of theology. You are expected to come to the table with something. You produce it. Not in our case. With God, everything He requires of you, He gives to you freely. It sounds almost too good to be true. It's so too good to be true sounding that many people just don't believe it. But I'm here to tell you, everything is free of charge. You need payment for your sin? No problem. He provided a sacrificial death of His Son on your behalf. You need to live a perfect and sinless life in obedience to His laws? No problem. He provided the life of Christ on your behalf. You need supernatural power to live the Christian life? You got it. The Holy Spirit will live inside of you and empower you and encourage you and comfort you and teach you. You need righteousness? Well, He provides that too through faith in Jesus. Whatever God asks of you, whatever you need to be right with God, He supplies it. One of the defining characteristics of faith in Jesus Christ, He supplies all your needs, not just to live on this earth, but even to be right with Him. All we do is believe. We trust. And we make Jesus the Lord. Scratch that. We recognize Jesus as Lord of our life. Friend, it's time to turn away from your own personal attempts at righteousness and embrace this alien righteousness. It's easy to attain. Simply repent of your sin and wrongdoing, and even from all attempts to earn your own righteousness. Put your faith in Jesus and trust that He died to pay for your sins, and be willing to confess that He is your new Lord and Savior, and follow Him completely. This righteousness can be yours, as I said, free of charge. In just a moment, we're going to sing a song. And as we do, I'm going to invite you to come forward. I'm also going to invite you right there in your pew to think and to pray. But if you need to come forward and speak with someone, I will be down here. If you want to talk with someone about faith in Christ, if you want to learn about membership here at First Baptist Church, I'd love to talk with you about that as well. But in just a minute, we're going to invite you to come after this prayer. Pray with me now. Father, we are grateful beyond belief that You do not look at our hearts and count what we have done towards our salvation. Where would we be? Lord, where would we be if You truly gave us what we deserved? God, I thank You that You sent Jesus Christ to die for me and that You have given me something that I do not deserve. I thank You that You've made it available to anyone who would believe in His name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. going to ask our men to go ahead and make your way forward, receive our morning tithes and offerings. As they're coming down, I want to just echo an announcement Nathan made earlier. I want you to know our Vacation Bible School and the McSpadden Music Camp are also available online for registration right now. I've already had several of you register. And if you're trying to help someone else register, just point them to our website. That'd be the easiest thing. But if you'd like to get a copy of the registration form, you can do that as well. If it's not available online, it will be very shortly. So let me pray for us and we'll receive our morning tithes and offerings here. Father, we're so grateful to be in your house and grateful to be blessed with the ability to give. And we thank you for that, Lord. We just pray that you would use these gifts to further your kingdom here at Fifth and Walnut, Lord, but also around the world as we share the gospel with maybe those who've never even heard the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.